let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. Rick Miller is considered an unconventional turnaround specialist when tasked with rehabilitating million and billion dollar organizations facing market crashes and the perils of war zones. He didn't do it by turning to chiefs in the top echelon. Instead, he drew from lessons he learned from a six-year-old girl. Melissa, an energized and goal-driven wheelchair-bound girl who inspired and motivated everyone at Morristown, New Jersey Hospital, taught Rick a lesson. Powerful chiefs don't need a title. They're actually all around us. His new book, Be Chief, It's a Choice, Not a Title, Billion-Dollar Business Lessons from a Six-Year-Old. Rick is a servant leader, a go-to chief, experienced and trusted confidant, an author, sought-after speaker, an expert in driving sustainable growth. For over 30 years, he served as a successful senior executive in roles including president and or CEO in Fortune 10, Fortune 30, nonprofit, and startup companies like AT&T Global Services, Opus 360, Lucent Technologies. In each case, he was recruited from outside to turn around poor performance in difficult times. A bachelor's degree from Bentley University and MBA from Columbia, Rick Miller, author of Be Chief, It's a Choice, Not a Title, our guest on This Week in America. Rick, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us today.
Hey, Rick. Great to be with you.
This is such a fascinating book. I mentioned you were a volunteer at a rehab facility in Morristown. What was it about this special girl, Melissa, that captured your attention?
Well, you know, I noticed Melissa right away. I was actually, at the time I first met her, I was in a 100-degree heated pool working with a physical therapist with another child before I met Melissa. Melissa was sitting quietly in her wheelchair, as you mentioned, six-year-olds with cerebral palsy, and she was waiting her turn, very quietly, almost serenely, kind of taking everything in. What struck me right away, Rick, was when she was wheeled into the waiting area, how many people, staff people in the rehab hospital, went right over to her. They knew her. She'd been there a while, and she certainly had made an impact. I would soon find out why. But I was first struck by how many people found their way over just to say hello. So I saw this wonderful individual off to the side, and after everybody greeted her, she waited her turn very patiently. But when she got in the water, when it was her turn, she became as focused as anyone I've ever worked with. She absolutely was hardworking, and she had a mission. She really had a mission. I came to find out that she had a goal. The goal, when I first met her, she had very tightly clenched fists, and both fists were positioned in a very rigid way up by her shoulders. She couldn't extend either of her arms. Her goal was to extend both arms to grab a little Nerf basketball that was floating in the water and drop it in a net and score 2 points, as she'd seen many other kids do in the pool, but she couldn't do it. And in that first day, we worked for an hour with her in very rigid muscles, again, 100-degree heated pool. We only moved her right arm about 4 inches in all of that time. And we had to go very gently. We didn't want to hurt her. It took us 6 months for her to accomplish her mission. But during that time, she was very generous with her smiles. She was very hardworking. She was very grateful. She always said thank you to the physical therapist and me at the end of our sessions. And I was always struck by this serene little girl who I would see the side of the pool, who when she got in the pool and it was her turn, she was totally present. She was getting everything she could out of the moment. And when I think about the business lessons and the life lessons she taught me about acceptance and being present and gratitude and being generous and being hardworking, that's kind of how I define someone who's going to be successful. I call them a chief. And she certainly made choices in a situation that many of us would think about and go, wow, how would I handle that? She was an inspiration.
Well, you know, you talk about hard working. That's one thing that jumps out as you're reading the story. This was going to be a long process for her. You didn't see her being discouraged. She was fine with that. She just kept going and going. And as you say, 6 months later, a simple goal was finally achieved. That perseverance really, really jumps out at you.
It was amazing. It was amazing. And how she went at it. It wasn't in a negative way or an angry way. And certainly other people would say, boy, this little girl has not been dealt a good hand. But the hand that she was dealt, she accepted, and she played that hand in just a marvelous way. Very inspiring.
With us on the program is turnaround specialist Rick Miller, author of the book Be Chief, It's a Choice, Not a Title. Book available, of course, wherever books are sold. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You list some of the lessons that you learned from her, and you didn't go into this expecting, I'm sure, to learn anything. You go in and you're watching, and you mentioned one before, be present. Talk about how important that is, and you actually probably didn't even know it at the time, but you were present and observing, taking all of this in, and learned so much from Melissa.
No question about it. And when I talk about the term chiefs, which I spend a lot of time thinking about chiefs, and people sometimes like the word chief, but what they really like, Rick, is the power associated with the word chief. That's what's important to people. They think that the power is something that they want. And certainly when you talk about being present, I believe that Melissa was powerful in part because she was so present. She was not, when she was in the pool, she wasn't thinking about where she had been the day before. She certainly wasn't thinking about where she'd be later that day. She was totally focused and powerful in the moment, and certainly one of the many lessons she taught me.
Do you find as you're dealing with business leaders, sometimes they're easily distracted, whether it's the phone, checking text messages, that type of thing? You're talking with them, their eyes may be looking at you, but you realize maybe they're not fully in line with what you're talking about. Talk about the importance of being present and paying attention to what's going on in front of you, as Melissa was doing.
Well, there's no question about it. I do see it in business people, and frankly, I see that all over. I mean, everyone's got their smartphone. We believe that this term multitasking is something that we ought to be good at,
yes,
when in fact, I think it's just the opposite. If we're fooling ourselves into thinking that we can do two or three or four things well, we are doing just that. We're fooling ourselves. And it particularly comes to light in terms of the importance of relationships. Because when you and I are together, Rick, I mean, if we're talking to each other and either of us is distracted because we get a text message in or we think that we can do something else while we're not fully engaged in the conversation, frankly, the quality of the interaction goes down. I mean, I know that you and I are totally involved in this conversation right now, and I would ask your listeners, what does it feel like when you are talking to someone and you know that they have half an eye on you and half an eye on something that's going around them? You can feel that you are not the focus of their attention, and I think that the quality of the interaction goes down. On the other hand, when you are totally engaged and totally present, the person feels it, and the opportunity to build a stronger relationship, I think, is far more likely.
And I would think from a leadership standpoint, if you are a leader talking with someone and that person feels that you really are attached to the conversation, you are there, you are present, they're actually listening, they're responding to what you're saying, that really would increase your leadership capability, I would think.
There's no question, and I think it's, frankly, leaders at all levels. I mean, we can, whether it's a leader who has a title or it's halfway up the org chart or someone who is on some organization chart at the lowest level, and we'd call them a front-line employee. That front-line employee who may have nobody reporting to them will certainly display a power in their interactions if they follow the same advice, which is to be totally engaged in the moment at hand.
And that's one of the really attributes of the book, Be Chief, It's a Choice, Not a Title, the fact that this will apply in business and will apply in real life as well. Another lesson you talk about is be still, and that's almost contrary to how we're expected to lead. If we're still, somebody's going 100 miles an hour and they're passing us. Talk about the importance of being still and how, in the long run, that peaceful state really works to your benefit.
Well, it's critical, Rick. I mean, we have so many voices around us. We have voices of parents or kids or other relatives or friends, or there's always the media, which is constantly chirping at us about what we should or could be doing, when in fact success and really being chief is about connecting what you do to who you are. And the importance of stillness is to learn to develop the ability to listen to the most important voice that you will ever listen to, and that is your own. If you don't find a way to get away from all the noise and everybody else's voice, you will not have the opportunity, you won't find the opportunity to develop a confidence in your own voice, to listen to your own voice, because that's really where you need to go for guidance. So again, independent of where you are in an org chart, whether it's business or life, really critical for you to be still. By the way, in a way that works for you. Some do it walking in nature. Some will do it listening to music. Some will go to more formal meditation. However it works for you, find that time to quiet your mind. The benefits are huge.
You also talk about one of the lessons from Melissa, be accepting, the importance of understanding and dealing with your current reality. Talk about that, how important that is to, we're in this position, sometimes we fight it or we're in go to a negative situation because of it, but you're saying you have to accept it, that's step number one.
Well, it is, and you know, I believe all these things have to do really with energy, because if you can think, and you and I both know people who will lose an awful lot of energy grousing or complaining about the way things are, right? I mean, it's just seeping energy. Rather than applying that energy to how do I change what I want to change, it doesn't mean you accept the future. It just says things are the way they are. It doesn't mean you can't do anything about it going forward, but if you're going to, I'll use a car analogy, if you're going to grouse about the rear, what's in the rear view mirror, there's nothing you can do about it. So the opportunity, and I guess Melissa demonstrated so well, there were things that she certainly could have been upset about, where she sat, how she sat there. She was not focused on any of that. She was looking forward about her goal. And again, so inspirational. But yeah, acceptance is something that a lot of people struggle with, yet it's so important for us to conserve our energy for what we can control going forward.
Rick Miller, our guest on the program. The book is Be Chief. It's a choice, not a title. His website is beingchief.com. Book available wherever books are sold. Link on directly to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you can go to Rick's website again, beingchief.com. One of the lessons as well is be generous. And I want to talk about that from your standpoint. You obviously, you're a busy, busy person. You took the time out to go to the rehab center and work with Melissa and all the others there. Talk about what you get back by that generosity and why that's important to who you are as a leader.
Well, it is important. Again, it is who I am, and one of the points I make throughout the book, and I'll tell you about the book in just a second. One point I want to make, but the point about generosity is it is absolutely who I am. Right? It is absolutely consistent with who I am, and that's really what being chief is about. I mean, I believe that giving back, I believe in service is really important, and so that's what I do. I don't believe that that volunteering is important for everyone, because some people would say, you know what, I've got in my work-life integration, caring for a parent or caring for a child or caring for my family. I mean, I was able to do that volunteer work and felt it was important to do, but many people will find their own way of serving. I think service is a wonderful calling for everybody. But I don't. I certainly don't dictate that should be done my way. Everybody's unique. But I do think it's important, again, to connect what you do to who you are. And I've always learned from kids. Again, in that situation with Melissa, I thought I was going there to teach, and actually I was being taught. So it was a gift.
You talk about being grateful, which is so interesting, because being grateful is really easy when things are going well. How do we get through showing gratitude, which is a very powerful emotion, a favorable attribute as well, but how do you do that when things are not going quite as well as you would like them to?
Well, I think it's, again, not easy. Accepting is not easy. I tell you that 100% of the time I'm grateful? No, I'm a human being. But I am aware of the choice that I make to be grateful. And the more often that I'm grateful, the happier I am. The perspective of, you can always find, you know, the people say the glass is half empty, half full. I mean, that analogy has been used a lot. But in fact, when it comes to gratitude, listen, things might not be going as well as you'd like them to. But, you know, just step back a minute and, you know, are you breathing, right? Is there sunshine outside? Is there an opportunity to change things? And again, it comes a little bit with acceptance. Acceptance of what you are, your current situation, but be grateful for the opportunity of the choices that you have going forward to deal with that. And you know, I've been grateful, for example, for Melissa in that lesson. I would choose this time, if you let me, to at least let everybody in your audience know that all author proceeds from the sale of the book go to help kids with special needs. So I am so grateful to Melissa for the lessons that she taught me. The book, again, is getting rave reviews. It was the number one new release on Amazon for both leadership training and business management. And while I'm happy that it's getting that kind of acceptance, I'm delighted that all the people who are buying it, all the author proceeds are going to help kids like Melissa. And I knew you wouldn't mind me getting that point out, so thank you.
No, and I was going to close with that myself because that's so impressive. Reading all of this, and this book is going to do, is doing so well, will continue to do so well, will sell a number of copies, and the proceeds will be going to benefit Sammy's House, a nonprofit agency dedicated to providing services for children like Melissa. And you can get all the information at the website beingchief.com. Boy, time is going by too quickly. A couple minutes left in the program. One of the big takeaways from the book is that everyone is capable of power leadership. So often we think if we are going to be a leader, if we are going to be the chief, that's something special. We've been selectively chosen for that. And you're saying basically we all have the power to be a leader.
No question about it, Rick. And I think, you know, when people hear the term power, many will think about what I call an older version of that definition.
Yes.
Because many of us have thought of power as authority or control, and that authority and control come from position or a title like chief. And that, frankly, is what I would refer to as yesterday's newspaper. If you think today about what power really is, I believe power is about energy. It's about clarity. It's about confidence. And if you have those three, you can influence others and you can have an impact. And I believe those five attributes are those that you can have no matter who you are or where you are. We always talk about business, an organization chart, whether you're at the top or the bottom or anywhere in the middle, you can display energy, confidence, and clarity, and you can make choices to increase those. And that's really what the book is all about, how to do that simply.
It's an excellent book. Be Chief. It's a choice, not a title. Power is not what you think. Turnaround specialist, business executive, best-selling author Rick Miller, our guest on the program. His website is beingchief.com. The book's available wherever books are sold. And once again, all author proceeds from Be Chief benefit Sammy's House, a nonprofit agency dedicated to providing services for children like Melissa, who we talked about on the program. You can link on directly to Rick's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Rick, excellent job. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. You're doing great things out there. Great message from Melissa and all the funds going back to help Melissa and others. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thanks for the opportunity, Rick.
It is our pleasure. Once again, you're listening to This Week in America. The book Be Chief is a choice, not a title. The website beingchief.com. Book available, of course, Amazon, wherever books are sold. Information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.